What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Friday edition of the show. Kyle, I don't know if you know, but the playoffs, and I'm talking about playoffs, start tomorrow. Welcome.
Yeah, so you've got your second playoff game of the millennium is at hand. Your first, let me correct myself. The first playoff game of the decade.
I was listening to a radio show yesterday, and they were debating if this is actually the start of the new decade or if next year is the start of a new decade.
It always gets weird, right? Because like you talk about like college football champions and stuff too, and the games played in January that year. I just did that talking about Tua and Alex Leatherwood, because Alex Leatherwood declared he was going back to Alabama next year. And I was like, when Alabama won the championship in 18, and I'm like, somebody is inevitably going to come in here and say, well, actually, Clemson won the national championship in 2018. But the game was played in January 2018 when they beat the Bulldogs.
So the question is the decade 2010 to 2019, or is it 2011 to 2020?
No, it starts with the zero.
Does it?
Yes.
I agree with you, but there are people that don't.
Well, they're wrong. That's fine. You're allowed to be wrong. It's cool. But
Kyle, I like to refer to this playoff game as the second one in the last 3 years. Thank you.
I mean, I was just trying to indicate that you are one for one in the decade with having playoff games. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Sean McDermott's 9-7 team with like,
no, definitely.
16 points per game scored and like 10 first downs per game. And
winning football, Kyle.
Winning football. That's right. That's right. You know, right, I guess, dude, do we want to start with the Bills Texans since we're talking about all the playoff games?
Go in order of the games that are being played.
Oh, well, I'm going to rely on you then because I don't have the schedule up. I just know what games are played on what day.
The first game of the playoffs, 4:35 on ABC, Bills Texans.
Blessed.
I have a lot to say if you want me to lead off here, Kyle.
Yeah, go ahead. Texans. Don't make it Locked On Bills. No. Just make it like a reasonable amount of analysis.
A reasonable amount of analysis is that I think what the story here is that the Bills offense is its worst unit and the Texans defense is its worst unit. And so to me, if the game's going to come down to which team has the better quarterback, like if the playoffs are just about which team has a better quarterback, then Houston's going to win the game. But Houston's defense sucks. It gives up a touchdown on 26.5% of its drives. That's fifth most in the league. They give up like 388 total yards per game. It's a bad, bad defense. They've got a lot of good individual players, but collectively they play very poor. They're banged up. Both are starting corners. Joseph and Gary and Conley are kind of limping into this game, and they're just not playing collectively well as a unit. And
did I see that Bradley Roby was questionable?
Yeah,
too?
He's banged up as well. Questionable with a hamstring. So to me, when I think about, okay, why can't the Bills win this game? Or what would be the advantages that Houston has in this game? Well, they're at home, right? We're at home. The Bills are 6-2 on the road this year. They're a good road team. And so that answers that question. The Bills offense isn't very good. I would tell you that the Houston defense is worse than the Bills offense. And then the other reason why Houston would think they can win this game is because they have Deshaun Watson. I would say that that's somewhat mitigated by a really good Bills defense. And I don't always have a lot of confidence in the Bills. I mean, I predicted them to lose to like the Browns and the Jets and stuff like that. So I'm very logical, I think, with my approach to the Bills and how they're going to perform in a game. And I don't see any reason why they can't go into Houston and win this game. The X factor is Deshaun Watson. If he's just going to be, you know, Michael Jordan, Deshaun Watson, and it's not going to matter, and it's just going to come down to him being the best player on the field, well, then Houston's going to win the football game. But if all of the other factors matter, I think Buffalo has a reasonable chance to get their first playoff win in 25 years.
I think it comes down to the individual star power that Houston has versus the collective team approach the Buffalo Bills play. Right? Because even you think about J.J. Watt is poised to come back. J.J. Watt has the potential to take over football game. And I like his matchup if he's healthy against the Buffalo Bills offensive tackles and offensive guards. Deshaun Watson, as you said, if Watson is going to be the superhuman version of himself that he's shown he can be, then those are X factors that play in Houston's favor as well as home field advantage. But I think Buffalo has a more well-rounded roster, especially when you factor in the injuries that Houston is dealing with on the defensive side of the football. And what's the stereotypical saying, Joe, of what wins in the playoffs?
Run the ball, stop the run. I don't know. Yeah.
And which team do you have more confidence to run the ball and stop the run and play good
Buffalo.
Defense?
Buffalo.
So it's going to have to take a big play early that gets Buffalo off their script, I think, if Houston's going to really commandeer this game.
Two things real quick in follow up. I don't know how JJ Watt's playing in this game, dude. He tore his pec. It's a 4 to 6 month recovery. He's 10 weeks removed from it, Kyle. If there's anyone that can do it, it's JJ Watt. In his first 8 games of the season this year, he was vintage Watt. He's good as he's ever played. So like, if there's anyone that can come back in 10 weeks from a torn pec when it's supposed to take 4 to 6, it's probably JJ Watt. But man, I'm just blown away that he's even thinking about playing. And then, you know, as far as Deshaun goes, special football player, but I think Will Fuller means so much to him. And this Houston offense is just not the same without him. And they say, you know, he's questionable. And some reports are saying long shot for him to play. If nothing else, he's not going to be 4-3 Will Fuller. And so as I look for positives as the Bills fan, and that's kind of the stuff that I think about, you know, and as much as here's the other flip side of this is like, as much as we know Deshaun Watson can go be Michael Jordan in this game, this is Josh Allen's first playoff game. You know, and he really met the moment in a big way against Dallas on Thursday night on Thanksgiving. But I would say on his other big time primetime games, whether it was New England, even Pittsburgh, a game Buffalo won, both New England games and Baltimore games, it wasn't necessarily Josh Allen meeting that moment. And so the flip side of Deshaun Watson's potential to be Michael Jordan, it's Josh Allen's potential to be really sloppy and try to do too much and put the team in bad spots.
Yeah, I think that's a great counterpoint too. So quarterback play will obviously be a big variable in this game. Any other thoughts in this one before we move to the other AFC game, which will also feature some pretty fun quarterback play for fans of the AFC East?
Predicting a Bills win. I want your pick.
I mean, I'm rooting for the Bills win.
But you're not going to predict it because you're going to go with the quarterback thing.
No, I'm too emotionally invested in the game to.
You don't think I am? Wait, you're too. What the hell just happened on this podcast?
I need the Bills to win so that Miami's third first round pick is within one of the first four in the first the playoff team. So I'm too emotionally invested in the pick to make a pick in that game.
I have nothing else to say. That's an epic moment in my life. What the hell just happened?
Give me Houston by a field goal.
Okay.
Can't wait to be wrong.
Same. No, that's, I mean that, for you to be wrong.
That was my thought process in the making the pick. Is it's I can either gloat about being right for picking the game, or just Houston will be eliminated from the playoffs.
Well done journalism there, sir. You gave yourself an out no matter what.
Always give yourself the out.
All right, well, we got Tennessee at New England. New England's playing on a wild card weekend at 12.
You really hate to see it.
It's
That's
sad.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, the Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins number one.
What's the first thing you think about when you think about Tennessee and New England?
Last time Ryan Tannehill played the Patriots was the Miami Miracle game.
Yeah?
Listen, so the Patriots, I surmise they'll be able to run the football against Tennessee. Tennessee's got a pretty stout front seven.
Good personnel. Yeah, I like it.
Yes, they got a lot of talented individual players, and they play. I like what they've been able to build there under John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. Which defense do I trust more? It's New England. And that for me is the trump card in the game, because we talked, when we talked about Houston and Buffalo, what's the recipe for playoff success? It's play good defense and be able to run the ball when you need to run the ball, right?
Yeah.
Both of these offenses are capable of running the ball. And I would argue the reason why the Patriots lost to the Dolphins is because they got too far away from the run game. And they should have been more in tune with just chipping away at the Dolphins defensively. I think that was a big wake-up call for them. They had success the prior week with running the football. They kind of got away from it against Miami. So now you come back, you reassess yourself, you say, we've got to run the football. And if you told me that you had to choose between New England banging on Tennessee's front seven or Tennessee banging on New England's front seven, when New England's defense being as good as it has been for the vast majority of this season, I would take New England banging on Tennessee. There are a couple trump cards here, Joe.
All right.
Derrick Henry is playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
And Corey Davis, for some ungodly reason, owns the Patriots. Have you seen his stats against the Patriots?
I haven't, no, but if you have them, I'd like to know. And obviously, AJ Brown, very hot right now at the end of his rookie year.
Yeah, so I am going to pull up those stats right now.
While you're doing that, I'll mention AJ Brown. Over his last six games, over 600 yards and six total touchdowns. I mean, this guy is really
phenomenal football.
He really is. He really is. He's averaged 8.9 yards after the catch this year, which shouldn't be a surprise if you watch him at Ole Miss. But for that to show up in year one, man, well, he's good. And I hope that you have those Corey Davis stats now. Okay, go ahead.
Corey Davis played one game against the New England Patriots in the regular season. And in that game, Corey Davis put up seven catches for 125 yards and a touchdown.
All right.
Corey Davis in the postseason played the New England Patriots and put up five catches for 63 yards and two touchdowns. So okay. In two games against New England, he's got 12 catches, almost 200 yards, and three touchdowns.
And I got AJ Brown and Adam Humphries and Delanie Walker and Derrick Henry.
No, I'll just leave it at AJ Brown and Derrick Henry.
What's wrong with Adam Humphries? Good slot receiver, man.
Nothing's wrong with him, but if you're bringing X factors to the table, I don't think he's an X factor relative to those other guys.
No, of course not. But I think when you think about the entire arsenal of weapons, you don't say, well, if we can take away these guys, they don't have anything else. They do. So I think, when I look at this game, I have a lot of similar takeaways than you do. And I think, you can even make this more simple. I mean, do you think the Patriots are going to lose two in a row? Once at home in the playoffs and wild card weekend, you know, just Belichick's going to have this team up and ready to play. It's the playoffs, man. This is New England Patriots. And until they lose a game, this guy is not going to be thinking the Patriots aren't going to take care of their business like we know they've been able to do for the last 20 years.
What was the year that New England got KO'd by Baltimore?
In the playoffs?
In the wild card round.
Well, it's been at least 10 years because Patriots hadn't been in the wild card weekend in the last 10 years.
It's the last time they played. So in 2011, New England actually got by this exact same, or I'm sorry, 2009, New England got by this exact same scenario. They're 10-5 entering week 17. They lose at Houston by a touchdown, and they have to play at home in the wild card round, and they lose to Baltimore 33-14. New England had less than 200 yards of total offense and four turnovers.
Is that Flacco Super Bowl year? It's got to be.
2009?
Yeah.
No, New England or Baltimore lost the following week to the Colts 20-3.
You're kidding. I don't know. Are we searching here? Are we searching?
No, I'm just saying that this it's not completely out of the realm of possibility to say that this New England could lose this game. The last time that they were in this exact same scenario, they lost two in a row and lost a home playoff game.
Man. All right. Well, I mean, I go Titans for sure. But this guy's not predicting that.
Yeah, I think you would need a magical performance from Ryan Tannehill, I think, in key spots. And I think they do have enough to bring to the table from what I'm fascinated with is how New England's going to choose to attack covering A.J. Brown. Are you going to mirror him with Stephon?
Well, that's what they've typically done in the past is they put Gilmore on the number one and then double the number two. It's Patriot way on defense.
Now, if you're committing three guys to two guys in the secondary, can Tennessee run on these guys?
It's tough to tell. I mean, they got thumpers. I mean, that's New England's front seven is built to play downhill,
right,
and play the run.
I just think New England's DNA fits favorably for this matchup.
The kicking game can matter here too. You know, I know the Patriots are very unsettled at kicker. And just a little side nugget here. It's something that could be a difference maker in a close game.
Give me New England to win by six.
All right. Minnesota. This is the Sunday games. The first one, 1 o'clock game, Minnesota at the New Orleans Saints. I mean, I obviously you got to like the Saints at home here, in my opinion. Drew Brees playing lights out football. I think that New Orleans as a football team is more dynamic than Minnesota. I know that Minnesota's done some good things offensively this year, obviously with their weapons. But you know, I think their rushing attack that has been so important to them. If Dalvin Cook's not going to be able to go in this game, I don't know his availability. But if he's not able to go, I think that's a big difference maker for the football game. And we've seen Kirk Cousins struggle against good teams, and that's exactly what he has on the road here. I think the conventional wisdom here is that the Saints take care of their business in advance.
Yeah, I don't see Minnesota has to prove to me that they can perform well in big games, and they have not because Kirk Cousins has not performed particularly well in big games since forever. So I think even regardless if Dalvin Cook plays or not, New Orleans is a very good team. Like New Orleans, it's more crazy to me that New Orleans didn't get a bye than it is that New England didn't get a bye.
13-3, you don't get
13-3 football team did not get a bye. Now, what Minnesota, the only chance in my opinion Minnesota has is the fact that New Orleans is down half their defensive line and lost those players within the past month. So that's something to watch. If Minnesota is going to try and probe where they can get some push up front, go at those backups. That would be my first script would be pretty heavy in that and see how it goes for me. But generally speaking, I think Minnesota is going to be overwhelmed with New Orleans's talent level across generally their entire roster, playing in the Superdome, a big game performance for Kirk Cousins. I just think it's too much. And I think this is probably the most lopsided game we get this weekend.
Well, and you think about obviously Michael Thomas having a historically great season, and you think about Xavier Rhodes on the other side of the football, and his end of the year has been very erratic. Obviously he sat in week 17 and weeks 14 and 16, he only played 43% of the snaps. It seems like there's been some conflict there. He's kind of turned into a part-time player. And if Brees and Thomas are going to be humming, forget about it, man. Just forget about it.
Yeah.
So last one, birds, the all bird matchup here, the Seahawks, the 11-5 Seahawks travel to Philadelphia, face the Eagles, the 9-7 Eagles, winners of 4 in a row. Your instant reaction to this game, Kyle?
Upset special?
I think so.
Although, isn't Philly favored in this game?
The spread on this game is 1.5. Yeah, Eagles are plus 1.5.
Plus 1.5.
Yeah, tight. So tight spread.
All right. So so Seattle has to come across the country.
Yep.
To play in Philly. Seattle is kind of like an anomaly 11-5 team too. When you think about a lot of their major statistics, they don't rush the passer particularly well. They don't pass block particularly well. They have a plus like single digit point differential for the season. They've got Russ Wilson.
They do.
Like this is the quintessential, like, yeah, you give us a great quarterback who can catch fire for 3-4 weeks in a row, and we might mess around and win the Super Bowl. And that's what you get with Russ Wilson.
Well, Kyle, just look at the schedule. Look at the last four games these two teams have played, and they both had to win them. These were all meaningful games all the way through. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia goes 4-0, and Seattle goes 1-4 with their one win coming against the Carolina Panthers by 6.
Yikes.
They had losses baked in there to the Cardinals in Seattle, and losing at Los Angeles, both games they lost by 2 scores.
Yeah, that Arizona game was kind of a rough one to digest, because that one should not have happened. And there was no reason for them to come out flat the way they did. And like you said, 2-score ball game when it was all said and done. So I think the thing from Philly's perspective to be mindful of is that I don't think Zach Ertz is going to play in this game.
That'd be a killer.
So that would really hurt. I think he had broken ribs. I'll double check now. But
one note here, if you think about something Seattle does well and how it stacks up against Philadelphia, it's the vertical passing game. And Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf against a Philly secondary that struggled a lot this year. And those are guys that are capable of winning 1v1, and we know Russ can get the ball down there. And so obviously, like, to me, Russ is always the X factor. They have a chance to win every game because of him, but the way Philadelphia is running the football, the way that they're winning at the line of scrimmage, the way Carson's playing down the stretch here, they're hot. They're winning when they have to. They have some belief. I think this is a type of opponent that maybe Philadelphia can handle.
Zach Ertz has cracked ribs and a lacerated kidney.
Yo, man. I'm sorry to hear that, dude.
You should not be playing.
Jeez.
He finished the Dallas game with the kidney damage.
Football guy, man.
Yeah, tough dude.
Jeez.
Tough dude. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and assume Zach Ertz probably isn't going to play. And I think that is a big loss. It's Dallas Goedert's time to shine. That's the good news about Philly and drafting good players when they're available to you, no matter what the starter on your roster looks like, is they've got a competent receiving tight end who could step into that role. And I think the home field advantage thing is the thing that I lean towards here. I think I'd pick Philly in an upset special in this game.
All right. So I've got winners as Buffalo, New England, New Orleans, and Philly. And you have the same, except for you have the Texans officially, I guess.
Hate Correct. It. But I'm still rooting for the Bills.
Yeah, you'd much rather have that pick.
Yes, you're right. But I wanted to give myself the out. So here we are. I did it.
Well, you're
I gave myself the out.
Your Tremaine Edmonds jersey, hopefully it'll arrive before
kickoff. Oh, yeah. Let me know. Let me know what I need to bring over to watch the game.
So that was the Bill. We had this conversation, the side conversation this week. That was the Bills jersey you would choose to have. If I was going to buy a Miami Dolphins jersey, it's the easiest decision I've ever made.
Fitz.
No, I wouldn't pick Fitz.
Why?
Well,
what are you picking?
Well, it wouldn't be. I obviously Fitz is the most likable player on the team from like the perspective of like that. I've had good times with Fitz and he's always fun. Who doesn't like freaking Ryan Fitzpatrick? But like, I mean, we're not going to remember Fitz for like his time anywhere specifically. You know what I mean? Like Ryan Fitzpatrick, known for his days playing for the who knows,
everyone.
Right? Like you can put any team down. I'm getting Christian Wilkins, man.
Yeah. You like that trash talk video that he had come out the other week.
I mean, I always love Christian Wilkins because you just see the way he plays the game and like his mannerisms and attitude. And then you kind of you listen to him mic'd up. Oh man, that was one of the best like 3 minutes I've spent in a long time watching that video.
Yeah, he totally sold me because there's Dolphins fans that are like, oh, I wasn't as productive as I thought he was going to be this year. It's like, all right, well, he's a rookie defensive tackle. And it's like, why did they pick this guy? Because on a 4-10 football team, no, I guess it was a 3-11 football team at the time, he's out there and the way he's talking shit to the Cincinnati Bengals, it's like he's having the time of his life. He's running out there celebrating touchdowns. He sprints onto the field for every touchdown to celebrate.
Just like at Clemson, man. He was on the field. He was on the extra point team. That's probably why they did it. It's like, man, we got to just get him on the extra point team because he's going to be out there no matter what.
He's going to be out there anyway, so let's just go ahead and put him at one of the ends and have him block. But, yeah, I think that's a good call. He and Jerome Baker, if I were to get a Dolphins jersey, are the two that would be at the top of my list right now.
Wilkins is going to be one of those guys that is so important for Brian Flores and like the vision he has for the football team, connecting Flores' message to the locker room and really kind of being one of those core foundational players that is not only accountable for, you know, his work and in being a leader and example, but like, because he is going to be an impact player, it's a total package. Right. It's exactly the type of guy you want for where Miami is and where they're going.
So, save your Christian Wilkins criticisms, please. Joe, that's it for us today. We're done. We talked about maybe doing some other stuff, but we're going to save it for next week.
Hey. Oh, you repeated it. I never thought it would happen. Oh, yes. I'm out. I can't say anything.
All right. Yeah, we're done. We're signing off on that note. Bye, guys.